Hello. Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good morning so far. God has been blessing you. And so we're going to read Job 25. It's actually quite short. It's the shortest in the whole book of Job. And so if you're following along with us, this is Job chapter 25. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered, "Dominion and awe belong to him who establishes peace in his heights. Is there any number of his troops, and upon whom does his light not rise? How then can a man be just with God? Or how can he be clean who is born a woman? If even the moon has no brightness, and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man, that maggot, and the son of man, that worm?" Amen. Amen. Wow. Pretty sad final words. So let's try to break this down. So we know, first of all, this is supposed to be the three guys' final speech. Remember, the typical pattern is each of his friends share a discourse. So Bildad goes first, and then later on he gets Job responds to him, and then another friend comes and shares, and then Job responds to him, and then the last friend Eliphaz, and Job responds to him. Well, we have a little break from this because eventually Bildad speaks, and none of his friends will follow this, and it'll lead into a lengthy discourse by Job. And so it seems like, just kind of from the shortness of Bildad's statements, that this debate is running out of steam. It's really bringing itself to end. There's, like, in a way, there's no reason to go through a whole other discourse because, one, the friends have shared all they want to share, and two, they're not changing Job's mind at all. And so it seems to start kind of a new transition in the book of Job. But we'll notice, beginning here, Job or Bildad is not saying anything that's new. In fact, he's actually sharing things that that they all agree on in this place. If you think about this, the shortness of Bildad's speech, in a way, is really suggestive that even though the friends were not able to convince Job of his error and all these things, Job has succeeded in basically silencing them and kind of shutting them up, and it's not getting anywhere. And so so we kind of lead into this way. So again, right, the formal structure is interrupted. And so Job really has successfully silenced them. And so there's nothing more to say. Then it goes into verse 2 and 3, which talk about the greatness of God. And it says, "Dominion and awe belong to him who establishes peace in his heights. Is there any number to his troops, and upon whom does his light not rise?" So in exasperation, Bildad, right, can only repeat what's already been agreed upon by Job and all of the three friends. They have all agreed on the greatness of God. So they're there. Everyone's on the same page in that way. And then in verse 3, he asks the question, is there any number to his troops? Bildad wanted Job to know and understand that God is an impossible foe. It would be ridiculous to fight against him, and that he should just simply surrender to God in this way, because he is fighting a war that he absolutely cannot win. Are there any number of his troops? He is so mighty. He is so beyond. If we use this, the army motif, he's got so many soldiers in his army, that to surrender would be the only logical thing to do to this God. And his troops, if you think about it, these are his angels, the stars, the creatures, you know, all submitted to his will. And so therefore, how unreasonable to fight with God in this way? And that's the main question. And then it goes to verse 4, and again, arises the question. And this is what they've been debating on this whole time. How can a man be just with God? How can a man be just with God? Again, Bildad is stating matters here that are not in controversy. Job actually says the same thing to Bildad in Job 9:2. And so again, he's coming to a place of agreement. Well, we agree God is great. We also agree that man cannot stand before a just God, or cannot stand just before a just God. And so so that they're coming to this conclusion, and that's where they're at. So repeating phrases that they already understand and agree upon. And then they ask, so how can a woman, or how can he be clean who is born of a woman in this way? And it seems to be the purpose of these questions is to cause Job to understand that he is a sinner, and that he's still hoping that he would confess and repent. He says, Job, you are not clean. This is the whole point. You cannot stand before this just God, which leads us later on to verse 5 and 6. This idea, if even the moon has no brightness and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man, that maggot, and the son of man, that worm. And so Bildad, he considers that even some of the glorious aspects of his creation still fall short of the Creator. And so obviously here's the Creator, here's his creation, and his creation reflect the Creator, but it doesn't come anywhere close to reflecting the greatness of the Creator. That they still fall short in this way. And there's interesting, there's some debate on verse 5, where it says, and the stars are not pure in his sight. And there's quite a few scholars that that really think that this refers to the fallen angels, the stars that fell from heaven. And there seems to be some idea, particularly in chapter 26, as Job responds, that may be what they were inferring in this, particularly verse 5. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. Verse 5, it says, the departed spirits tremble. And so it could be that he's referring to that, but I mean, it doesn't make much difference in the way that we're understanding chapter 25. And so it could be creation, or it could be the fallen angels that are mentioned there in verse 5. And then in verse 6 is, how much less man, that maggot, and then later on the worm. If you think about it, if the moon and the stars cannot reflect the glory of God, as they should, then it stands to reason that man cannot either. And so again, when we reflect God, but we can't reflect the fullness of his glory in that way. Now, interestingly, to note here that Bildad's final argument was really based on a misunderstanding of Job's previous words that he has here. Bildad and his friends, they seem to think that Job wanted to convince God that he was wrong, that God was wrong. But that's not really what Job's going after. So therefore, you can understand Bildad's reasoning. So Bildad wanted to emphasize the proper relationship between the glory of God and the humility of man. You know, with that argument, right, Bildad makes it clear that in his mind, the guilt of Job is properly established. But we know that's not really the case here. It's interesting to note, and we can see kind of the difference if we think about it here. You know, unlike the Apostle Paul, in Romans 1-3, he establishes the doctrine of total depravity. But see, this is the difference between total depravity and what Paul's doing and what these friends are doing. Paul establishes the doctrine of total depravity, to really make room or open a door for grace. That grace of God is made available to us, but we'll notice Bildad and his friends make no room for that whatsoever. There's not much room for mercy or forgiveness. There's just a lot of judgment. And that's the issue, and that's the problem that comes into this place. And it's interesting to note that it's kind of ironic that these men, these friends, they're also worms. You know, they're also maggots, but yet they feel like they're still in the right judgment to judge their friend Job, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. I mean, if you use their own words against themselves, they actually have no case. But that's the heart condition of their friends and where they're at. And it's interesting that the discourse will end here on a really kind of disgusting note, you know, maggots and worms and all these things. But it ends with kind of like this hopeless word picture of the end here. And maybe that's by design, you know, a bad advice or not supportive friends. It at the end, it will be disgusting and hopeless. And maybe that's really in the intent of the organizer of the Book of Job in this way. And so, kind of a weird place to end this part of the discourse. And so then for a while, I think until verse 31, Job is going to express his thoughts. It's kind of like just goes on and on. And we'll get, but in a good way, we'll get to that. And then in 32, a person out of nowhere begins to appear, Elihu, and he will come and share. And then we'll get into the words of God later on. So yeah, we're kind of turning a corner here in the Book of Job. And so as we meditate today, let's just go before the Lord and let us really meditate on the greatness of God. Verse 2, dominion and awe belong to him. And there's not much else redeeming in this passage. And so let's just focus on verse 2. Yes, dominion and awe belong to him. And I was just meditating this morning as we're starting a new day. You know, what a great way to start the day by just giving God the awe that he deserves. And he is so worthy. Yeah, he is so worthy of this day that we can present before him. He's worthy of our worship that we're about to sing praises to in a moment. Dominion and awe belong to him. And so let's just really utter our words to the Lord and begin to bring just our hearts before him in this way. Let's pray together. Let's sing and worship God, and let's give him the awe that he deserves.
You are worthy of it all. From you I all things, to you all things, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. Yes, you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Sing all our saints and angels, bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Yes, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory. For from you are all things, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Well, let's just continue to spend this moment in a place of prayerful worship, and let's just give God all the praise, all the awe that He deserves this morning. In our own words, with our own mouth, let's just lift up God and His Son and His Spirit, and let's just really give them the praise, the adoration that they deserve this morning. Let's just pray. Let's meditate. go to our community prayers and let's lift up our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that needs healing, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, but more importantly, let's pray for that word of salvation to come. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask the Lord to move upon our government, upon our nation. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray, really pray for revival, that God will revive his people. Pray for churches, pray the gospel, preach powerfully. I pray for our friends here, Sports Services, International Shanty, YWAM Tun Moon, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up. Thank you. let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to use these incredible men and women to really, first of all, draw near to Him and then draw others near to Him. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray that we would work with the best of our abilities using the gifts that God has given to us. Let's pray. Pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista, when our doors open again, hopefully soon, that they'll be ready to go and really minister and love on our people as we step into the house of God. Pray for our worship sound and AV teams. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really breathe over their music, their talents, their gifts, and that they could just lead our whole congregation in worship, especially as we're moved to online. Let's pray for our equipment. Every Sunday seems like there is a battle going on. So let's just really pray for smooth equipment and all those things. Pray for our gathering tonight. We have a EG class. This will be actually the last class for the Tuesday, and then their retreat will be in a couple weeks. So let's just pray as we go through Unit 11 that the Lord really begin to firm up the lessons throughout our journey together, and that people would really experience Him. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, Princeton, and Soho. Let's pray for the anointing upon our leaders, our hosts, and that people would really draw near to God and to each other. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for the privilege of waking us up a little earlier and seek your face, God, to learn from Job. But more than anything today, as we reflect, God, to give you awe, Lord, to give you all the praise that you deserve, Lord, God. Yeah, we are worms, God. We are maggots, Lord, compared to your greatness, Lord God. But yet you still love us, Lord. And so we thank you for your grace that's extended to each one of us, Lord. And help us to use our breath, God, our life that you give, Lord, to glorify you, Father. That's our heart's intent today. And so use us today to glorify your son, Jesus. God, we thank you. We love you, Lord. God, watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time today and enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll see you at lunchtime prayer or tomorrow at EMP. God bless you guys. Bye.